When you type a prompt into a language model, what do you actually picture?
Most people probably imagine some sleek, humming supercomputer.
Yeah, exactly. Just pure autonomous math generating these brilliant answers. But okay, let's unpack this. Because in today's deep dive, we are looking at academic research, investigative journalism, and legal filings to uncover a totally different reality.
Right. The mission here is to expose the invisible ghost workers who actually process all this data. It is a very powerful illusion that these systems just naturally understand the world.
Right. Because raw data doesn't just structure itself.
Mm-hmm.
The model doesn't magically know what a dog is or, you know, what hate speech looks like.
No. Somebody has to teach it. And to understand why AI isn't just magic math, we have to look at how data is actually assembled. Scholars use this metaphor of the AI skyscraper.
Oh, the AI skyscraper. I like that.
Yeah. So we as users only see the penthouse, you know, the shiny chatbots and tech executives. But down in the subterranean levels, there is this vast hidden workforce in the global south.
Doing what? Exactly.
They do things like data enrichment and commercial content moderation.
So it is basically the digital version of a 1920s factory assembly line.
I mean, pretty much, yeah.
They used to call that Taylorism, right? Breaking jobs down into tiny physical steps.
Mm.
But this is, like, digital Taylorism.
That is a great way to put it.
Imagine an assembly line where your only job all day is to screw on a single physical bolt. But digitally, that bolt is just drawing a square around a pedestrian in a picture over and over again.
Yeah, or categorizing a LiDAR point cloud,
yeah,
which is basically coloring in a 3D map of dots so a self-driving car doesn't hit a tree. And workers do this under extreme surveillance. Every single keystroke is logged.
Wow, that sounds intense.
And they're often making literal pennies per hour.
Wait, I'm stuck on something here. I get drawing boxes around pedestrians, sure. But how does this grueling digital assembly line actually teach an AI to be safe?
What do you mean?
Like, when an AI refuses to generate instructions for a bomb, I don't see the connection between a worker clicking a mouse and the AI developing a moral compass.
Well, what's fascinating here is that the AI doesn't have a moral compass at all. It uses a mechanism called reinforcement learning from human feedback, or RLHF.
Okay, RLHF. How does that actually work?
When the AI is training, it spits out multiple different answers to a prompt. A human worker then reads those answers and ranks them.
Like saying response A is more helpful or, I guess, less toxic than response B.
Exactly. And this is where researchers use something called the Bradley-Terry model. Instead of just giving the AI rules, this mathematical framework treats the human's choices like a sports tournament bracket.
A sports bracket. Okay, I follow.
Right. So if response A beats response B, A gets a higher score. This trains a separate reward model, which acts like an automated referee. It feeds numerical scores back into the main AI.
So it mathematically motivates the AI to generate answers that score higher later. Here's where it gets really interesting, though. The AI isn't actually ethical.
No, not at all.
It is literally just calculating which sequence of words has the highest probability of getting a thumbs up from an underpaid worker.
Precisely. Its entire concept of alignment is just mimicking the subjective choices of those ghost workers.
But wait, if their job is to rein toxicity, that means they have to be staring at the most toxic, horrific content the internet has to offer. All day long.
Yeah, they do.
What does that actually do to a person? Because so-called alignment sounds like it is literally just extracted human trauma.
This psychological toll is devastating. Tech companies offshore this labor to places like Kenya and Ghana through outsourcing firms. Firms like Sama, for instance.
Uh-huh.
To give you an idea, our sources show OpenAI was paying workers in Kenya between $1.32 and $2 an hour.
Wait, $2 an hour?
Yeah, and that was to read deeply traumatic passages describing child abuse, murder, and torture. It actually led to a landmark lawsuit against Meta and Sama by a former moderator named Daniel Motong.
Right, the Motong lawsuit.
Yeah, and that exposed forced labor conditions and severe PTSD among the workforce. If we connect this to the bigger picture, it is a massive issue.
So what does this all mean? Because tech giants constantly claim they are doing impact sourcing, right?
They do, yeah. They argue they are creating tech jobs to lift people out of poverty.
But isn't this just a massive jurisdictional loophole? Like, you know, a kind of regulatory arbitrage where they deliberately shop around the globe for countries with high youth unemployment and weak labor laws.
That is exactly what the research indicates. They basically weaponize local poverty.
Just so they can pay pennies without facing legal consequences.
Right. The outsourcing firms argue that paying a Western living wage would distort the local African economy. which conveniently maintains artificially low operational costs for trillion-dollar Silicon Valley entities.
That is wild. With this level of exploitation, how sustainable is this? Are the workers completely powerless here, or is there any pushback?
We are actually seeing unprecedented mobilization. In Nairobi, workers established the African Content Moderators Union.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is like a historic act of cross-platform defiance. And lawmakers in the global north are finally paying attention, too.
What are they doing?
Well, in California, for instance, they introduced a bill, Assembly Bill 2653. It aims to regulate AI data under anti-sweatshop laws.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, pushing for living wages and independent monitoring for these workers. This raises an important question about accountability.
It really does. So the next time you type a prompt into your screen, I want you to remember the invisible human labor down in the basement of that AI skyscraper.
Exactly. It is real people parsing through our digital darkness to make your everyday tools safe to use.
It completely reframes the cost of our convenience.
It really does.
Which leaves us with a difficult question to ponder. If our AI safety is built upon the psychological trauma of an exploited global underclass, can artificial intelligence ever truly be considered ethical?